So yeah, last week I learned that we are.
Please, John, come to the front, please.
So yeah, last week I learned that we are God's people, and that you are either a slave to sin or to righteousness. Yeah, that's the thing. I think I learned. Okay. Like we are holy nation. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Come clap for her. All right. Who else? I think you raised your hand, Abby. Okay. Can we give him the mic?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, please, face. Let's see.
So, last week I learned that we are God's people. Like, we are not of our own. We don't own ourselves. So we can't just use our body to do what we want. We have to do what the Lord wants. So, yeah, that's what I learned from last week.
Oh, thanks. All right, who else raised their hand? All right, let's give... You, Shala.
Good morning, church.
Please come to the front.
Good morning, church. Yes, last week I learned a couple of stuff last week. But one of the things that he said that actually made me to start rethinking and start checking it, looking at the word generally, like when you said something, you made a statement by saying that if we actually look at the richest sect of people in the world, they are the people that pursue holiness. And these are the people that are actually leading the forefront that in terms of real money. And again, you also said one thing too, that there's a radicality we have to use to pursue the things of God if we don't want to conform to this world, which is, I also add on to that one. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I said that in the faith, those who tend to be the richest are the holiness people. Who else raised their hand? Ebenezer, I think I saw someone else. Okay, okay, Ebenezer.
Praise God. So, I learned that holiness is a radical effort to remain.
Hold on. So, first.
I learned that holiness is a radical effort to remain pure in thought and in action. I also learned that, that we shouldn't conform. You spoke about conformity, that we shouldn't conform regardless of what's happening around. And we read a scripture that was talking about the that we're presenting our body to God as a living, we're presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And I think we read it in Amplified Version that says that it is the rational thing to do because Christ gave himself for us. That's it.
Amen. All right. You raise your hand now.
Good day, church. Last week, Baskinet said...
Hold on. You saw I've been come first, then face them, then start talking.
Good day, church. Baskinet talked about how you can't chase holiness and not face opposition from people who think with logical reasoning, from ordinary men. And it's a radical attempt. It's not something that most people would normally decide to do.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. That was actually very powerful. I like that you remember that. I think there's one more person now. Okay. All right.
Good morning. So, last week I learned that holiness is a process. And if we do things early, you go right and everything is right with you. But if you do things late, it goes sideways. And also last week, I learned that money is not for showing off. Money, the purpose of money is not to oppress people. Money is very useful and is not hard to find. It's not hard to get.
Can we clap? Can we clap for me? All right. Yeah, that's very good. When you I'll just advise, I mean, this is no, it's part of my message. But it's very important that you take on the nature, or let me say it in a very simple way. You know, when you're in church, are we together? Please, everyone, stay with me. Look at me. Just listen to me. When you're in church, you have the opportunity to become a new person. Okay? When you're in church, you have the opportunity of becoming all that God would have you be. Okay? Because you're like a, you know, if you remember your biology, things like butterflies, they have various stages of birth, Abby, or growth, you know. They'll grow, larva, pupa, all that kind of stuff, right? Now, when who you are in Christ, this is not that person. Are we together? This is not that person, okay? And in order for you to become that person, you're going to have to allow God work in you. And how he does it simply is just by putting you in a church and then saying, oh yeah, begin to operate in this church. You know. And those simple, simple things that being in a church will compel you to do, that is how God will transform you into a new person. Are we together? Yeah. So, I said that to say that it is not, let me say very directly so that nobody is under any illusions. Your desire to not want to talk in public is satanic. What I mean by that is that it is Satan that put that knowledge in you through usually your teacher in secondary school, you know. But you're meant to be bold. Hallelujah. Huh? The righteous are bold as a lion, Abi. Yeah, you're meant to be bold. So shyness is satanic in that sense. In the sense that shyness is the knowledge of Satan. It's when you're doing evil that you're shy. You know, when you're doing evil, you do evil at night. You know, when, you know. But when you're a man of the day, meaning when you're a man of light, you should be bold to express yourself in any situation. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. So, you should always never be ashamed of talking in church. Okay? Especially in a church where, I think for this series now, I've told you that you have the liberty to ask any question you want to ask. You know. But you should always be bold. You see, many people come into Christianity wanting to be themselves. You know, it's like, okay, I am myself, then this is just the place where I hear Jesus. It can't work that way. Hallelujah. You have to allow God change you. So people will tell you to do things that you perhaps are not used to doing. Okay? So I just said, let me just say that because I was perceiving that some of us are shy to talk and everything, and you know. Let me just tell you where it's coming from so that you won't think that God made anybody to be shy. There's nobody that has a natural tendency towards shyness. I don't know where you read it. You might have read it. You know, you might have read it in your... maybe you've read Why You Act the Way You Are. I don't know. Maybe you hear that some people are sanguine or something. I don't know. You know. Or melancholy. You know. So maybe you're thinking, oh, this is who I am. You know, my heart is just in my corner. That's why I like doing my own thing. That's how you be opportunity will pass you by. You'll be in your corner. Hallelujah. Are we together? Please listen to what I'm saying. These sort of things are very simple, but these are the most important things that I can share and give you. Don't never accept that sin of this is who I am. I beg you, don't tell yourself that sin. You don't know who you are. God forbid you are like this. How can you be like this? You know? Who is this? Is this a great person? Huh? What have you done that this is who you are? You understand? Either you should be ashamed of who you are. You are saying this is who I am. Are we together? So this is not who you are. You are whoever God will have you be. You understand? Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I don't think that anybody is naturally gifted. It's not. Me that is standing before you now. There is a day when I was a teenager. They said I should talk. Maybe there's pillar. I was hiding behind the pillar, you know, to talk to the people. You know, open your Bible to the book of Leviticus. Yeah. I was that shy. You get so. Don't think that this is who we are from birth. No. Are we together? Yeah. Something else I wanted to say, but that's keep my mind. So, we couldn't have our vigil on Thursday because it was clashing with the vigil for the stage play. By the way, I hope you guys are coming for the stage play tomorrow. Yeah, please come. It's free entertainment. So I even say that this church is just fasting our prayer that they want to kill us with no enjoyment, you know. You'll come and you will enjoy. Trust me, you will enjoy. You know. So we couldn't have the vigil because it was clashing with that. So midterm has finished. So we'll probably, I don't know when next we will have the vigil because I need to discuss with church when next will be free. So we'll just have the vigil at another time. And whoever can make it, you can come. But it's not compulsory again because of school. Those of you that are in, that need to be going to school and stuff. So please, let's look forward to the vigil. To the stage play tomorrow. Hmm? Dress well. Dress like you're going to the cinema. You know, dress like, make it a thing. Enjoy your youth. You know, don't just come with slippers. You know, amen. If it's slippers, yeah, well, but don't just come with, wear your Christmas clothes in quotes. That's what I'm saying. Are we together? Yeah. It's also another thing that you need to learn. You have to learn to always put your best foot forward in anything that you are doing, even down to how you want to look. So if it's a special occasion, don't say that, I have special clothes I preserve for. That's another satanic knowledge. Hmm? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
He came straight from hell to limit your destiny. Okay? You don't, there's not that special jeans that you only bring out. If you postpone your prosperity to, that you say it's only one day in a year you look good. You know? I reject it over your life. Amen. Okay? So what you do, if you don't have too many clothes, there's no issue. You wear your best shirt. When you get on, you wash it again. The next day, you wear it again. When you get on, you wash it. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
yeah. That's how you live life. You live life in the best possible state that it can be in. Not that you wear, you are a homeless person. They won't tell the difference. Then it's now on Sunday, you now look good. No, that's not how you live life. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? Okay. Why is it important? Tell me why is it important. Tell me why. You didn't tell me well.
Why is it
important? It's important because people do not pity people. I know you think they do because maybe online you're saying, oh, this person has kidney issue, let's donate. But I tell you the truth, in life, people do not, it's not like it's the needy ones that get the most attention. Are we together? The needy people do not get the most attention. It is those that have value that get attention. Amen. Are we together? It is those that have value that get attention. Is it fair? No. So just let me just tell you, is it fair? No. Okay? Is that the way God made it? Yes. Are we together? If you know how to program now, you will make more money than if you are hungry. And you say, people, I'm hungry, I'm dying. Are we together? If you say you're hungry, you are dying. If I'm on the street and I, you know, if I'm walking on the road and I see you and you say you're hungry, you're dying. If I don't know you, I'm not giving any money. I don't care about. Are we together? I'll preserve my money for those that have something sensible that they're doing with their life. So you never want to look like you need money. Are we together? Here's another. In Nigeria, unfortunately, poverty has captured people. So many people, you know, in fact, you should have so much shame that, you know, if when you see people doing giveaway on social media, you should be like, God forbid, I will never post my, you know, that a whole child of God will not start posting. On. Imagine me now, you see me now, under Don Jazzy caption, they say, the giveaway, you now see Pastor Kenneth, you now see OO to OP, you know. Are we together? You should have pride. That's good pride. I tell you the truth. Those things are demonic. Are we together? It's Satan. It's Satan's work. And unfortunately, even men of God don't know these things. Men of God didn't give it well. You know, those things are, you're just infusing poverty into people's lives. You get, right? So yeah, don't give away. Look at Joshua now. You know Joshua, well, most of you might not know, Joshua did one, people should go to that website too. Maybe, is it part of the announcement? I put it as part of the announcement now. So everybody should check out. So Joshua created a website where you would just impute the things you like to do. And then he'll give you recommendations on what you should study in JAM, the school you should go to, that kind of thing. Can we clap? Where is Joshua? Is he in the building? Is he in the building? He's not in the building. Okay. Now let's clap for him. Let's clap for him. You know. When I said that, I was so happy, you know. Now, when you do something sensible with your life that people want to associate with you, you know. If there's one girl in this church now that was eyeing him, you know, as people are healing him like that now, she too will be like, it's like this guy too is a serious, you know, he's a serious guy, you know. Are we together? Do something with your life. People will come and meet you. All these beggy, you know, attitude. Are we together? Amen. You get all these beggy. Everybody, come and help me. Come and help me. It will get you far in life. Okay? That's how you will make money quicker when you understand how to give people value. It's a mindset, creating value. Some of you that are looking to people now, you know, some of you are looking to maybe me now, or you're looking to some people now. You're saying, oh, wow, I need these people to maybe give me money so that I can go to school or something. You're looking at us the wrong way. It's an okay way, but it's still the wrong way. If you see somebody that has money, instead of looking at the person as somebody that can give you charity, look at the person as somebody that you can sell something to. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. You always collect somebody's money because if you can do something in that person's life that is valuable, the person will willingly give you money. But if you go through the route of I'm church member now, you know, well, it's when the person feels like it that the person will help you. Amen. Amen. So say, I have, just say it, whether it's true or not. Just say, I have value to give. Yes. Maybe you can tap your head. I say, this brain has value. Tap your head now. Tap your head. This brain has value. This brain has value. Legitimate. You don't need to do yahoo. You don't need to get legitimate. You understand? Amen. Huh? Legitimate. You don't need to do, you know. There's no boy you need. You get for the ladies. Stop waiting for a boy to save you. You know. We are depending on your beauty. This life, at least one guy could shall come. Shall, you know. You will not attract valuable people. You will attract predators. How many of you have watched that movie, Predator? The kind of people that you attract. If you watch that movie, you know when the predator opens the face, you see monster. That's the kind of people that you attract. It's predator you attract. Prey. And you are a prey. You get. Are we together? I'm serious about what I'm saying, though. It's predator. You know, it's like lion that is timing. Because if you're so desperate, you know, men have the key. Men instinctively have the key to turn women into zombies. Are we together? Men have the key. Meaning, at the beginning of life, you know, he said he wanted to be astronauts. By the time men are done with you, you'll be in one corner doing prostitution. You know, men will turn you. Are we together? Are we together? Don't do as if you're not. There's a reason why I'm saying this thing. I have a message to preach, but they've led me in another direction because there's a reason. Okay? Men will turn you to prostitutes in the corner. You get? You don't want to be astronauts. Have you ever seen any young girl at 12 that says that my dream in this life is to be a stripper? Have you seen? In your secondary school yearbook, did any when people were graduating that they said, what do you want to be in the future? Did anybody that said, I want to be fourth wife of King? Did you see? Yeah. So how come some people became? It's men that happened to them. Are we together? Yeah. So especially when you have daddy issues. Okay? Are we together? You know what I mean by daddy issues? Oh, my father doesn't love me. My father doesn't, you know. That thing, it affects you deeper than you know. I tell you the truth. If your relationship with your dad isn't so great, it's an issue. Okay? For guys and girls, you know. For guys, it plays out differently. You know. For girls too, it plays out differently. Yet. Even the intense desire for a boyfriend is daddy issues. Okay? Are we together? Like that desire for love, it's daddy issues. It's because your father doesn't really show you love like that. So you need to be, anyway, I think I've said all I want to say. So
Let's continue. So we will continue from where we stopped. Oh, no, we'll take... We'll continue from where we stopped. So we're talking about how we are a holy nation, Abi. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for healing. But I ask that as we look into your word, that you shall reveal yourself to us in the name of Jesus. Reveal your nature to us. Reveal your character. Reveal your power to us. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. All right. So, we'll be looking at a holy nation. And we read a couple of scriptures while we're talking about how God has called us. Okay? And I think where we ended it was that we ended it. Where is God's will? Huh? He went? He's walking. Okay. So, we'll be looking at a godly, a holy nation, rather. So, how God called us. And I think where we ended was that we said that holiness is a radical effort to keep yourself pure. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes,
sir. Holiness is a radical effort. The word radical is important. It's the most important part of the definition. Okay? It's not just an effort. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It's not just an effort to keep yourself pure in your words, in your thoughts, in your actions. It is a radical, it is a revolutionary effort. That's why the infusion of a Christian into a place of darkness usually causes lots of drama. Are we together? If people are doing, maybe in an office now, there's a lot of corruption. The moment they just make the mistake of hiring a Christian that has this sense, the office will just enter into drama. And what the Christian will go and start slapping people. He won't go and start kicking people. He will just say that me, I cannot take bribe. That's all. And there will be chaos everywhere. Amen. Or in a school, they say that there's promiscuity in this school. Or they say that there is so much evil. If you just infuse, you don't even need that many. Just maybe like 10, 20. If you just infuse people into that department, chaos, you know? Because all of a sudden they will say they want to do party. I mean, some people maybe, some people, they every year they've been doing party, end of year party in this unit, you know? We do end of year party in this unit, and this is what we do. All of a sudden, they just made the mistake of making the chairman of the committee one of the people that has sense. Chaos, you know? Chaos and drama. You know, are we together? Why? Because it is radical. You need to understand that you're having a radical and revolutionary effect on the world when you choose to be holy. Praise God. That's why Jesus Christ would look at human being and say, you are the salt of the earth. He would look at people. These people don't have education. These people don't have power. These people don't even have money. Are we together? Huh? And you will look at such people and say, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. Do you get my point? All right? Meaning that you're having a certain level of impact on the earth that is worthy of being called the salt. So the radical and the revolutionary part is the major part. Huh? When I say radical, I don't mean that you will go and start maybe fighting people, be holy. No. The simplicity of the nature, are we together? The simplicity of the nature is itself radical. And so that's why for you to be able to successfully live a holy life before the Lord, you're going to have to go through renewal of mind. Can we say that together? Renewal of mind. Can we say it one more time? Yes. In other words, you're going to have to be somebody that is non-conformist. Are we together? Huh? You're going to be somebody that, you know, if for instance now everybody, if for instance now maybe in this church now we say, okay, this Sunday we're all wearing white and there's somebody that will come and wear red. You know, that person, you know, we'll say that this person is a troublemaker. You know, all of us, we agree that we'll wear white. And you will come and you wear red. Maybe it's now choir. So they said, maybe choirs agreed that it's blue we are wearing. Some people now come on brown. Then when they are now there, you'll not be that one person that will not stand out. So, you know, you just mess up the whole thing. Yeah. Why are they laughing? It has happened before. So, now, people like that are, you know, you need to have a certain level of grace for it to, your mind has to be strong for it to withstand the pressure, you know? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Your mind has to be strong to withstand the pressure. You know, you stand there on the pulpit, and you know you are the only one wearing brown, and you'll be singing. You know, you're not saying anybody yet, right? So that's the mindset of holiness. Yes, if you are not determined to not conform, you can't walk. Are we together? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're still struggling with what we call peer pressure, you know, you think you can't walk. Amen. So you see that a Christian just on his own is a very strong head kind of person. Are we together? That's what it takes. So there needs to be renewal of mind so that the mind can begin to see what is conformism as something he will never want to do. In other words, you need to have like a flip because human beings want to conform. It's one of the most intense desires. It's one of the core desires. Everybody wants to fit in. Are we together? Yes, fitting in is a very strong and powerful desire. Hmm? Are we together? Yes, very strong. You see, when what you people now know as Ron's girl is my generation that started it, and you know, girls that will just be sleeping with older men for money. Young girls, university girls. This is university that I started from. And I tell you the truth, this thing is not like people needed money for school fees. Eh? People did not need money for school fees. All the girls, what they wanted to buy was BlackBerry Bold. You know, a phone now that has, you know, nobody even knows, people don't know the phone. Eh? No, they don't. Zan, do you know? Zan is sleeping. Are you sleeping? Okay, do you know BlackBerry Bold? Is it a drink? No, it's true now. Like, he doesn't know. Like, it's not... it's a very valid answer. Is it a drink? You know, very valid. Huh? You get. So, phone that everybody now, younger generation, don't even know. You know? I went to check Android Play Store. I was just... This week, I don't know, somebody just said, let me just go and check BBM. You know, the app is still on Android. I was seeing the app, I was like, now this app be this. I was like, the app is so dead. Like, kai. You know, nobody is using it. You know? Many people don't understand. BBM was once a thing. You know, ping, you know, hey, give me a BlackBerry pin. You know? You know? Now, because of something that has disappeared, like, it has, like, nobody knows about the thing now. People wanted the phone, you know. The phone was more powerful than iPhone, to show you how, not more powerful specs-wise, but in terms of its social, you know, cachet. So people slept with married men. You know, that's what permeated that culture in the universities. So that's why then it became a culture. You know, but the early girls, the early Ron's girls is fun. Even till today, I mean, why are people Ron's girls? You know, people are not Ron's girls to do borehole for their streets. Together, that's not why people. That's not why people do runs, girl. Okay, it's for nail. Are we together? An eyelash. Huh? Are we together? Meaning, it is to meet up to a standard that another person sets. That this is what is beautiful. Are we together? So conformity is very, very. It's the power of. It's what makes people spend money. You know, it's a very powerful force. Human beings love to conform. You know, it's the whole. And even when we market things, people tap into that psychology. So when people try and sell you things, people in the marketing department, like Mr. Ramos' wife now, they are sitting down, they are thinking, how can we make people feel that they must have this drink? You know, that's, people are using your head, you know. So, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So your mind has to be renewed so that you will understand what is the perfect will of God. Because one of the things that is very important, are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. One of the things that is very important about God is that God is alone. What I mean by that is that God does his thing from himself. He doesn't counsel anybody. So, with God, it's not like the whole world can be wrong. The whole world can be right. It's not about that. God is God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't use the numbers of people saying a thing to judge it as right or wrong. Are we together? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the mistake that we make when morality shifts. Because, you see, morality is different from holiness. Okay? Morality is just what is the current acceptable behavior in the society. Okay? And that one shifts depending on how serious the people are. You get? All right? So, morality is always shifting by generation. You get some of you now. This brother's hair now, which is my hair is almost similar. Like when I got born again, if you carry this hair to church, as you enter like this, you just know this place is not for me. You know? As you enter like the usher will look at you. Are you want to enter this church with this hair? You know, but in now, that's morality. That's not holiness. Are we together?
Yes.
But, you see, morality has shifted, you know. Our church is now where the man of God, even though I think that one is wrong, though, but man of God is doing hair like woman, you know. Our man of God is wearing torn jeans. I think it's wrong, but because I just think you should be serious. You get it? I believe a pastor should. You shouldn't want to dress like drug dealer. You know, so. But again, but morality has shifted. In fact, people like, you know, if I were to start dressing funky, this church will feel, you know, you never know. No, for real, you never know. You know, I think they put me on social media and I'm looking like, you know, I'm not wear chain. I'm not wear chain, you know. And I said, the Lord come upon you there, you know. Maybe this church will fill up with people. The point is that it's not accepted. Okay? But whether God approves of it or not, nobody is God's own is his own. He's not caring about whether people accept the thing or not accept the thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So morality is different from holiness. When I say be holy, I'm not saying look at what is the currently accepted behavior and do that. Are we together? Holiness is derived from God. It is essentially what is God's will. And we know what is his will primarily from the word of God. Are we together? And also from his spirit in us. Okay? So, we know
what is his will from the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what is in God's mind. Okay? In fact, the Word of God is a compilation of do's and don'ts. Anybody that tells you that Christianity is not about do's and don'ts is wishing you evil. Okay? Please, I beg you. Don't, is it the era we're living in? We're not in a marketing era. So people tell people what they think will make them come to church. So that's where some of all these things come from. Please, God is a God of do's and don'ts. God is a very transactional God. If you do this one, I give you this. If you don't do this one, I give you that. It's how he behaves. His love language is obedience. Do you know what I'm saying? Huh? His love language is you show walkings. You don't say, oh Lord, I love you. You come and say, did you do what I said you should do? Even if you do it grumbling, he will still accept it. Are we together?
Sir. Yeah?
Meaning that even if he tells you to do something and the thing is not, you are struggling with it, but like, oh Lord, you said I should do it, let me go and do it. He will still accept it. You accept it better than, there's a parable where he was saying that, he told two people to do something. One said he's not doing it. He's like, get out of here, I'm not doing it. He now went to go and do the thing. Maybe last minute. He now told the other person, do the thing. You know, I say, yes, Lord. I will do it. He didn't do it. He says, look, the one that God likes is the first one. Are we together? Because that's how he knows you love him. That you obey his commandments. He looked at his disciples and said, if you love me, obey my commandments. That's how they are. Okay? So our God is a God of do's and don'ts. Christianity is a religion. Permit me to use that word. It's a religion of do's and don'ts. In fact, that's the joy of Christianity, is that we are finding out what to do and what not to do. Are we together? Huh? So we spoke about those things and then how just the radical nature of it, let me just say this thing, for example, that let me say this thing and move on. You see, every generation always thinks that they are the ones that we are the chosen generation. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Every, Gen Z always believes that the adults are stupid people. It's natural. You get every new generation always sees themselves as the, we are now the better ones, or we are the special ones. There's that sense of ideology with which generations see themselves. I just want to tell you that you shouldn't waste your time thinking such. Okay? There's nothing special about being young. The only way being young matters is if you remember God. Okay? Youth is only powerful when God is the center of it. If God is not the center of it, youth is wasted. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
yeah. So, if God is not... you take me to that scripture, I think Ecclesiastes, remember our creator in the days of youth. If God is not... the focus of youth. What makes youth worthwhile is that Jesus is like the focus. Jesus is the main driving force. And it is young people that are meant to be exemplary. Are we together? Not older people. Okay? Young people are meant to be the ones exemplary. So, in other words, what I'm saying is that, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, actually, these difficult days will come as a result of not remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. Meaning that if you were to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, you will sow a seed that in old age will reap days that are not difficult. Okay? But when you don't remember your Creator in the days of your youth, then difficult days will come, because your old age is just a reflection of the seeds that you sowed in your youth. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Please listen to me. I know I'm saying this thing very simply, but I'm trying to give you a kind of mindset for life. You need to listen to me to catch it. It's not about me shouting, okay? Just listen to me. Listen to me with your heart. Like, gather yourself and listen to me. When you are in your youth, that is the time period where you are most likely to be distracted. Are we together?
Yes.
There are many things that distract. Even you yourself, you are a distraction to yourself. Okay? So, if it is natural for you to spend your youth focused on so many other things. Are we together? There's so many distractions. There's very dark man. You know, there are just all sorts of distractions. Some people now, they think that the most important thing happening in this nation now is Two-Face wedding drama. You know. Are we together? In fact, people can even do church session. Very good. Well, you know, the gist can be so hot that pastor will have to do teaching in church. That, no, this is how you judge Two-Face issue. Okay? The world we live in is very distracting to young people. But he says here that you need to remember. That's why he says remember now. You know, there's a natural tendency for you to just ignore. And to just focus on other things. But he's saying now that you should remember, because you can forget. Are we together? So remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. In the days of your youth, live a life that every day you are living it under the knowledge of God is watching me. Are we together? That's what he's saying here, right? God is watching me. Like everything I'm doing, God is seeing it. Every action I'm making, God is taking note of it. Are we together? Every single thing I'm doing, God is seeing it. God is taking note of it. Even though nobody might be there, God is seeing it. God is taking note of it. So that your old age will not be difficult. Okay? Are we together? It's in your youth to learn the mechanics of holiness. Holiness is worked out mechanically or methodically. Are we together?
Sir.
If you don't learn the mechanics of youth, as you get money, you'll be getting more sinful. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's in your youth that you learn it. Every single thing that you're going to learn that is going to make you a champion, you will learn it in your youth. Every single thing. Even your school, you know, the bulk of your school is in your youth. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright? So live like somebody that has a tomorrow. Okay?
Yes,
see,
don't say your own is too much. You know, I told you that this word, the conformity, you have to be like, you know, don't say that my own is too much. Your own is not too much. You have to live with the mindset that this thing that I'm doing, what implication is it going to have in my future or in my eternity? This place they say we should go to, does it link to my future? That's how you have discernment. Okay? Are we together? Are you guys hear what I'm saying? This friend I have, does it link to my future? This association that I have, does it link to my future? That's what it means to remember your Creator, meaning that everything that you are doing it with the knowledge of Jesus being there, watching you, taking notes of everything that you are doing. And then when you do that for a while, you will inculcate the habits that are required for a glorious future, part of which is holiness. Okay? Because, you know, I said that holiness is mechanically worked out. You know, it's big English. Well, I'm just saying that holiness is habitual. Are we together? You see, holiness is not, oh Lord, I woke up this morning. This sin is too much. This sin is too much, but I will choose you. That's not, if that's how you're living, you are gone already. It's just the right atmosphere, you are gone. Are we together? Anybody that is struggling with holiness now, we show you holiness in the future. Holiness is habitual. I think that meaning you don't see sin. You are living a life that the capacity of sin to touch is very limited. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes, sir.
So you learn the habits, which I will talk about. I think that's where we'll end this. But I'm still doing recap from last week's self. But we'll still end because time has gone. But eventually, what we'll end, we'll talk about some of those mechanics. What are the practical, habitual things that you need to master? For instance, the first time you are entering into a place, one of the things you can do, just wear about collections, I serve the Lord. You know, everybody just, okay, this one is a Christian. You see, that thing, it will keep you from wala. Are we together? That's it, that you just enter a place and you announce yourself that I am a Christian. You know? It will keep you from all sorts of drama, all sorts of wala. So because some people, once they just see that, say, okay, they will invite you. You know? Are we together? Yeah, so we'll talk about those things. Those are the practical things you need to do on a daily basis. You get? Right, it's habitual. Yeah, so it's not like you will be like, so you mean as I did now, if I don't die till 60, and maybe now I'm 15, no more. I mean, for like 45 years, you know, I could be holy. It's hard though. It's because you don't have the habits. You know, there's nobody that is worried that next tomorrow you will not eat. When you wake up, you go and look for food to eat because it's your habit. Do you get my point? Right? So it's when you are looking 10 years into the future, a serious person, is that you don't have the habit. It's a daily, habitual living kind of thing. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Every sin that is reoccurring, maybe it's anger or something like that, is because the habits are wrong. Praise God. So you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You see, there is a type of blessing that is upon people who are living pure before God. Thank you. There is a type of blessing that is, God loves people that are pure. All right. So we've done enough of that. Just in a short time, let us look at some scriptures. So firstly, I want us to look at sin to understand what sin is. Let's go to Genesis quickly. Don't worry, as I said, it's just recap. The message is just starting actually, but I'll end. This one is not a long message. I'll end this thing. Because I know there's even evangelism. People should go and do your glory home evangelism. Those of you that have not done. Abino? Yeah, so I want us to end on time. So in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 3. We see the story of Adam's fall. Or before that, in let's just quickly look at what he said to man. In Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God, man is created in the image of God. What that also means is that God looks like, if you want to know how God is, God looks like a man. The form of a man, that's God's form. You know, what God has leg, face, hand. Then we're also created in the likeness of man, meaning that we also originally behave like God. Okay? So our nature was that of God. Because then let's just go to the next verse. Can you guys hear me well? Okay. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, when God created man, God then spoke over man. Hallelujah. Huh? He spoke over man. And that speaking, it's... Because you see, the way God does his things is that he speaks. Are we together? The entire creation was speaking. In other words, speaking is creation. That's why your words are very powerful. Hallelujah. You can't go far if you don't talk well. You get. So, he spoke over man, and that speaking was to... It's almost like he programmed man to behave in a certain way. So, what we call nature, another word for it is actually programming. Okay? For instance, now this thing that I said, be fruitful and multiply, it is the inducement of, this is the reason why men have babies. You know, most people that have, you know, maybe like 98%, or maybe 99% of people that have babies from an instinctive level, not a logical level. Are we together? Logic usually enters after baby two. That's when you're now saying school fees. You and your wife now start thinking, well, let's do family planning. But usually, the desire to have babies is more instinctive. Are we together? Huh? That's why having babies is even opposite. What I mean is that it's in the poor countries that they have babies the most. The richer countries, they don't usually have babies like that. You know, it's in Nigeria that is poor. Even in Nigeria, it's the poorest people. The poorest people are those that have like 8 children. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the poorest people that have the most babies, because it's people that they are... character is more base and instinctive. They'll just be having children. Because it's software. Are we together? Eh?
It's software. It's not a logical thing. It's just instinct, you know. So that happened through God speaking. God created the man, and then he said, oh yeah, this is how you'll be doing your thing. So the compilation of this software that is running in man all the time is what we call sin. It's what we call the nature of man. Are we together? When we say you have a nature, it is the compilation of all of these things. Okay? Now, sin was introduced in Genesis 3. Let's quickly read. In Genesis 3, we all know this story. So from Genesis 3, that's when the temptation started. Satan started talking to them. And then, thank you. And then, yeah, so you can read from verse 1 to verse 7. That's after they had eaten. Sorry, I've been having a cold. Okay, so it says that then the eyes of both of them were opened. So what were they opened to? They were opened to a new kind of nature. Okay? Are we together? Huh? In other words, when they were created, they were living a certain kind of life. Their brain was operating in a certain kind of way. Their instincts, their passions were operating in a certain kind of way. Now, after the sin, after they ate that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, something happened to them. Their natures were changed. So their eyes were opened. Okay? Are we together? So it's not every revelation that is good, because, you know, someone can preach you a message that will send you to hell and be like, word. Again. Have you now? So the eyes of both of them were opened. You know what I mean? If I come and start preaching, that it doesn't matter what you do. Even if you like, say, just, you know, if you have sex with ladies, just say, God, I'm sorry, and you know. You know, people will say, wow, you know, wow, such a powerful word, you know. So then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So when their eyes were opened, they then started doing certain things. That was the first time after God confronted Adam. That was the first time that we saw Adam pass the blame to another person. Are we together? Very strange behavior that we started seeing for the first time. So when we say sin is a corruption of the divine nature of man. Okay? It's two things. So it's a corruption of the divine nature of man. It's not like he got a new nature, but really, what's really happened is a new nature. But to be very technical, is that his divine nature was corrupted. So that corrupted nature is a new nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it is the corruption of the divine nature of the man. He got opened, and then that exposed him to new actions. So there's the first layer of sin, which is the nature. The second layer is then the actions that proceed from that nature. Are we together? Yeah. If you want me, shout hallelujah. So you have the nature, okay, which is instinctive. It's not the same way every man just wants to give birth. The same way people, that's why, you know, we'll say things like nobody teaches children to lie, you know, it's just in the nature. Okay? And then number two, it is then the actions that proceed from that nature. But not just actions, it's the actions, thoughts, and emotions. Are we together?
So you can call it big sin, small sin, if you want to use that kind of way to understand it, right? There's capital sin, which is nature. It's nature-based. Then there is sin. What we say, repent of sin. What we mean, do stop doing bad sins, in quotes, right? So those are the actions, the thoughts, and the emotions that are coming from that corrupted nature. Hallelujah. Are we together? Please, what I'm saying is important. It's not just actions, okay? It is actions, thoughts, okay? Thoughts and emotions. For instance, the thought of not being thankful is sin. Amen. Amen. Let's go to James. Let me show you part of what I mean. I think we've already this morning. Let's go to James. James 4. James 4 verse 13 to 16. Oh, we'll read to you 17, Seth. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? So do you know what he's talking about here? So he's talking about, let's read on. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, what he's saying here is that the lack of acknowledgement of God. Are we together? Yes, just the thought that, okay, my life, I'm going to plan my life by myself. That is sin. It's proceeding from that nature. Are we together? Because the original nature, the original divine nature of man, of Adam, it depends on God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It depends on God. Are we together? But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Are we together? So, if I know that I should give my biro to somebody, I know that God wants me to give my biro to somebody. I know it. Amen. And I don't do it. I can't say that it's not in the Bible that they did not say you should give your Bible to somebody. The fact that that knowledge has entered. Do you get my point? Yes. All right. The fact that that knowledge has entered, meaning I know that I should do this. If I don't go ahead and do it, then it is counted as sin to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So sin also exists in the place of thoughts. Okay? Your thoughts. Amen. 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 That's why Jesus Christ would say that fornication is not just when you do the sleeping. When you are thinking it, it is as though you have fornicated, because the thinking is also important. Do you get my point? All right. Then there's the emotions. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. So, we've spoken about the nature of sin and then what that produces. It produces actions, thoughts, and emotions that are contrary to the will of God. So that is how you judge your life. Huh? Fortunately, man cannot see thoughts and emotions. You know, if man could see thoughts and emotions, this world would scatter. But you know, imagine me now, I'm seeing what's in everybody's mind now. You know, I'll just be discouraged. Because all this preaching and preaching, as long as I'm thinking of food in the house, you know. But God sees it. And, I thank God. I say, I really don't want to know. Because me too, I know some of the things I'm thinking. You know, and I say, God, you are strong. So you mean you know that me, I'm thinking this thing like this. And, you know. So it's not just actions. It's also thoughts. God knows your thoughts. Can we say that? Can we say that one more time? Can we say it one more time? He knows your thoughts. He's there. He's there. This education is very important too. There are many people that have this education that mess up. So that you can start checking yourself from your thoughts. Huh? It's not a space that God is not aware of. You understand? Are we together? Man does not know. You know? But God knows. You understand? God is seeing it. In fact, that's even the prayer that God answers the most. You know, your thoughts are also prayers. What you are thinking is communication to God. Are we together? Right? There are times when the Holy Spirit has had full download of conversation with you, but it's just in your thoughts. He didn't necessarily need to tell you should do this or you should do that. Praise God. Praise God. Huh? And then your emotions. Okay? Emotions also produce sin. Cain killed his brother because he was angry and jealous. Are we together? Hmm? Are we together? In fact, most evil in the world is done as a result of emotions that are not in check. Okay? Maybe you and your friend now are growing up together. You know, I think I've spoken about entitlement. Very disastrous state of being. Very disastrous. You know, entitlement. Maybe you and your friend now are growing up together and then that one should not blow. He now told you that, okay, don't worry. When I blow, I will give you money. And blah, 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 blah. And now blow, he now found out that he's not giving you the money. But you're not going to carry his name to shrine. You know? Emotions. It produces lots of evil. Are we together? So if you're going to be... we'll end now. We'll continue next week. But if you're going to be set free from the bondage of sin. Are we together? Which is what the blood of Jesus Christ came to do. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is not just the thing that when you are sleeping, you say blood of Jesus 5 times. You know, so that evil spirits do not trouble you in your sleep. That's not what it is for. Are we together? The blood of Jesus is to sanctify you, meaning is to save you from the bondage of your bad nature. Are we together? Yes, that nature of sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from that nature. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, all right. So, this is also why there is no sin that cannot be forgiven and cannot be overcome. Okay? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what we'll look at next week. All right. But for now, there is no... Please listen to me. There is no... There is no era of your life that can't be purified. Are we together?
Yes,
huh? Meaning in your actions, in your thoughts and your emotions, you can be thoroughly purified. Hallelujah. Low self-esteem is coming from sin. It's the sinful nature that produces low self-esteem. Are we together? Because what you call low self-esteem is pride in another way. Amen. Huh? Are we together? So that's... Let me just say that. The Lord wanted me to say that. So if there is no action, there is no thoughts or thinking pattern, and there is no emotion that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse you from. When we say we receive forgiveness, we don't just receive forgiveness as per don't, okay, we're not good. No. We also receive power to live above sin. Do you get my point? Right? So it doesn't just end that God is no longer angry with us. You know, the real meaning of forgiveness is that God has justified us by his blood and he has sanctified us, meaning he has cleansed us from unrighteousness, meaning that he has delivered us from the bondage of sin. So through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to the new nature of eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah? So, and that's why, you see, salvation is the most powerful revelation. There is no revelation in this Christianity that is more powerful than salvation. Are we together? It is the simplest revelation, though. But I tell you, it is the most powerful in terms of power. You know, the other revelation, the revelation of the third day. You know, you've not heard that. There are many revelations in the Bible, you know. There are many revelations. You can carry Bible and, you know, for instance, now there's, Chisholm, do you know about millennial reign? You don't know about millennial reign? You know, that one, I don't even know. I've not heard anybody that said anything sensible about that thing before in my life. But people don't say that, because in Revelation, there's a part that says that Jesus Christ will reign for 1,000 years. You know, the thing is, I've given up. You understand? I've given up a long time ago. This will not embarrass me. You know, because some people, they like all this. Revelation is a body of is a sect, but it's a thing in Christianity. Some people they specialize in studying prophecies, you know, and they'll be saying things, you know. So there's plenty of revelation, you know, but this one is so simple, but it is the most powerful. Hallelujah. The implications of the blood of Jesus Christ is that if Boko Haram should come here now and say he wants to give his life to Jesus Christ, he will give his life to Jesus Christ. He will go to heaven. And if we don't accept him as a brother, we might go to hell. That's the... You get my point? That's the power of it. You understand? In fact, God can even say he will not be your pastor. Do you get my point? All right. It's a very scary revelation. You get? The other side of it is that if somebody comes to you and says, look, see, bro, since I've been 5 years old, it's men I sleep with, you know. And actually, right now, if I see a full naked woman like this, nothing will happen. Yet, the power of the blood of Jesus can hit that guy. And all of a sudden, you come to church, you start singing, you're like, boy, this guy get big, boom, boom, boom. Wow, I did not notice this thing before. You know, you will fix him. Do you get my point? Right? That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Okay. Very powerful. Amen. This is why there is no excuse to not live a holy life. This is where I'll end. Huh? Can we say that together? Please say it with energy. You're saying it like you don't like it. Please say it with energy. I'm telling you the truth. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has saved you. Okay? There's no excuse. This is the reason why Christians will go to hellfire. Are we together? Because, anyway, like I said, we'll look at it next week. That blood is you don't play with that thing. The sin that we can be tolerating is if you sin, you have an advocate. Do you understand what I mean? Meaning, it's not going to be something that is a lifestyle. Alright? Is if you sin, you have an advocate. You get. But that you think he will just, you know, from church to nightclub, nightclub back to church, church to nightclub. They are not stupid people, though. You understand? These are not stupid people. You get my point? These are not people that don't know value. Okay? And these are not people that if you insult them, they have long suffering. But, you know, long suffering doesn't mean that you didn't note that the guy insulted you. It just means that you are patient to the guy. Yeah, but it's not like he's just, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. He's hearing everything you are saying. You get? And the thing that is most precious to him is his son. If he insults his son, he will deal with you. So, the blood of Jesus has these benefits, right? First, it gives us access to salvation. And then it gives us access to cleansing or sanctification. We are now cleansed. We are now vessels that can be used by God for his purposes, for his glory. So the implications of that is that if we access the blood, we will live above sin. Are we happy about that? Okay? We'll live above sin in actions. We'll live above sin in thoughts. Okay? All those nasty thoughts, you will control your thoughts because of the power of the blood of Jesus, right? And then we'll also live above sin in emotion. I love this so much. Jesus fixes our emotions, okay? Jesus fixes our emotions. You get? We don't need to be crazy people that are just out of control, you know? Out of control people that can't control themselves. Once you get angry, just, you know, your face will just be red. Jesus fixes our emotions. There's nothing that's happened that Jesus cannot fix. Are we together? Even rape, Jesus can fix it. You get, right? Molestation, Jesus can fix it. Are we together? All right? So he fixes us, okay? Can we just thank God for this? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you have provided for us. Thank you for all the access that we have. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are afraid. Amen.